Ask students what kinds of exams they prefer, and no surprise, most say they like open book tests. Ask their professors, and you're likely to get an argument. Some hold to the traditional closed book exam as the most rigorous. Some say the process of creating a cheat sheet teaches students both the material and how to organize it, while another camp believes open book exams are just as effective and much less stressful. So as the fall semester wraps up, we want to hear from college professors. What have you learned about exams over the years? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Afshin Gharib and William Phillips had this argument in the carpool that takes them to Dominican University, where they're both associate professors of psychology. So, of course, they decided to run an experiment. They join us now from member station KQED in San Francisco. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Afshin Gharib, what exam did you argue for?
Well, about 10 or so years ago, I got tired of always curving my exams. I always used to give the traditional closed book, closed note tests. So I tried once to give a open book exam, and what I found was that, oddly enough, I thought that everybody would get an A, but oddly enough, the scores were normally distributed and not that much higher than on a closed book, closed note test, but students seemed to like it a lot more. So ever since then, I've always given open book, open note tests. But whenever I drive with Bill, we have an argument, and Bill disagrees with me. So
Bill, what's your favorite?
Yeah, well, I often give a cheat sheet as an aid for exams, and part of that came from some literature I saw where learning is actually enhanced by going through the motions of organizing your notes, and just going through that process is believed to increase learning. And so I argued for a cheat sheet of some sort to increase learning.
I have to ask, were anybody else in the carpool besides you guys?
No, it's a small carpool.
Yeah, it's a very small carpool.
Good.
It's a mini.
Because I think they may have checked you out if there'd been a bunch of people in the carpool. So how did you decide to resolve this argument?
Well, what we decided to do is take a couple of our classes and put the question to the test. So we had three different exams over the course of a semester, and we gave one open book exam, one cheat sheet exam, one closed book exam in both an introductory to psychology class and in a statistics class.
And how did it turn out?
Well, I was teaching the statistics sections, and one of the things that I did is I didn't actually use a closed book exam, just because making students memorize formulas I didn't think was very proper. And so I only used two of the conditions, the cheat sheet condition and the open book condition. And we basically found that though performance changes, like one of the interesting things was retention doesn't change that much.
Between any of the three methods?
That's right. We gave a pop quiz about a couple of weeks after each of the tests, and we found the scores were pretty much exactly the same in both classes, exactly the same, regardless of the type of test the students had prepared for.
Did the students, I know you asked them some questions too, did the students prepare the same when they knew it was an open book test or a cheat sheet test or a closed book test?
Interestingly, students actually spent a little bit more time studying in the cheat sheet condition, and we believe that that difference was actually preparing and organizing their notes.
Interesting. And that would suggest that those who organized and prepared the best notes did best.
And that's exactly what we didn't find. we looked at the correlation between the depth and detail of the cheat sheet and student scores, and there's essentially no relationship.
So the person who can organize their notes brilliantly doesn't do any better on the test.
Or remember more material 2 weeks later.
That's sad. Your conclusion is, did you bet anything on this, by the way?
It was a friendly bet, but clearly I won.
Yes.
So that means you have to do the driving, right?
That's right.
The conclusion of this, now you're in psychology. Do you think this applies across the board?
That's a very good question, and we'd be interested in seeing if it does. If I was making a prediction, I'd say that it would, just because within the discipline of psychology, Introduction to Psychology and Statistics are as different a pair of classes as we could find. So we think that it's pretty broadly applicable.
And have you, by the way, have you changed the tests you give now, given the results of these experiments?
Well, yeah, I've been still using the cheat sheet and Open Note, but that's because we've kind of been collecting more data as we go along. So we've kind of continued the study.
Ah, so you don't have to give in because you're continuing the study. I get
correct.
It. All right, so you don't actually change. Let's see if we get some callers in on this conversation. We want to hear from college professors today. What have you learned about exams over the years, and which method do you prefer? Have you changed? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And then we'll go to Derek. Derek's on the line with us from Truckee, California.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Derek. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I moved over a few years ago from traditional exams to Open Note only exams. And I don't have any data to really to support it. It was just something I wanted to try. And I let them use notes, handouts, old tests, anything but the textbook. And my rationale there is I want them to sort of write their own textbook as they go through the semester, and it definitely encourages them to stay more organized as they go. And I get good student feedback, makes discussions more interesting. Grades really haven't changed much, but it's something that seems to work really well, and I like doing it that way.
William Phillips, he's on your side.
Yeah, very good.
Will you change considering the results of this experiment?
Well, I think I probably will. I think I will start using more of an Open Note format, Open Note, Open Book, because the data seem to suggest that it lowers anxiety, and I think that's better for the student.
Derek, might you reconsider?
I don't think so.
Stubborn. Okay. We like that in a professor. Thanks very much. What do you teach, by the way?
I teach biology.
Biology. Thanks very much for the call. Good luck.
Thank you.
So long. Let's see. Here's an email from Chris in Macomb, Illinois. Just a comment. The tests I used to give were mostly open book. That said, they weren't tests of knowledge. They were tests of application. If you didn't know the material thoroughly when you entered the room, you were never going to complete the test, no matter how many references you brought with you. And Afshin Gharib, that's a good point. Just because it's an open book test doesn't mean you don't have to study.
That's true. However, in my classes, particularly in an introductory psychology class, that's really not the case, because a lot of the questions have to do with facts that you can, in fact, find in the textbook if you look through it. I think what happens is that students don't prepare as well for an open book exam, and as a result, they don't do as well as they think they would on those sorts of tests.
Go next to Chris. And, excuse me, Chris is on the line from Columbus.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I teach at a community college here, and I teach it's a basic comparative linguistics class between English and American Sign Language, and the students have a lot of terminology to learn, and for a lot of students, it's their first time in the classroom, and they're very intimidated, and so I always begin my class with the first quiz that they get to work in groups, so they have an idea of the kind of questions that I'm going to ask. It's not like memorize this term, but it's more of an application. Here's a linguistic sample, and can you apply a term that we've talked about? And then throughout the rest of the semester, I tend to let students maybe work with a partner or in pairs. And I found that it's been incredibly successful. It gives the opportunity students to think out loud. They can talk to their partner and ask questions, and their partner can say, well, I kind of think of it this way, and the other student might go, well, gosh, I never thought about asking about it from that approach. Mm. And I don't give all quizzes that way. Sometimes if I know that there's one with a lot of terminology, I'll let them work together like that. And what I've also found is that it does alleviate their frustration and their concern, but it also helps prepare them because they want to look good working with a buddy in class.
Yeah, they want to look good to their buddy, and by that then they will look good to you too.
Absolutely.
Have you,
and to themselves? Yeah.
Afshin Gharib, I'm hearing another experiment in the making.
Absolutely. I mean, we're very interested in trying different types of examination. So we've We've been talking about take-home exams as another type of exam to look at. The group exam seems like a great idea. We'll put that on the list of types of exams to look at next.
That's great. I'll look forward to that research.
And Chris, are you in the middle of exams now?
We just finished up, and I'm going home to grade 40 projects where they've had to take all that terminology and hopefully apply it, and we'll see how well they did.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
We're talking with Afshin Gharib and William Phillips, both associate professors of psychology at Dominican University of California, co-authors of Cheat Sheet or Open Book, A Comparison of the Ethics of Exams. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's an email from Julie in Oakland. Open book. The whole world has become open book with the internet. I am now testing the students' ability to discern and evaluate the information. I teach textile science at a fashion college, and there's a lot of information to cover. Quick story. I had a final review on September 10th, 2001, with the exam to be on 9/17/01, and had always been giving closed book exams after 9/11 happened. I decided that my students should get a break and gave an open book exam. I was surprised to find I still had a full range of grades from A to F, and that students did not appreciably change their grades with the open book. And William Phillips, that's what you found too.
Yes, I think that's correct. There's a slight increase in grades between the three exams when you look at it across the same student, but it's very small. It might be a half a letter grade.
And if you're scaling it, it should make much difference at all.
No. In fact, as Dr. Gharib suggested, you find that you really don't have to scale. You don't need to scale.
Well, let's get another caller in. This is Jeff, and Jeff's on the line from Gainesville.
Hey, how are you? I'm a TA at the University of Florida, Gainesville, in nuclear engineering. And we have both methods in our department. There's a professor who does open book, take as long as you want, because as an engineer, you're going to have your resources available, and you're not going to be necessarily given a one-hour time limit to solve your problems in. And people will routinely take 3 to 5 hours on his exams, and he's okay with that. But on the other hand, most of the professors will use a cheat sheet. And you know, students tend to prefer the cheat sheet because the professors who offer that option can give absolutely brutal exams if it's open book.
I see. So
A lot of it's professor-dependent.
But as a TA, you get to see different professors trying these different methods.
Right. Absolutely. And it's interesting to watch because I think the curve is the same, but a lot of the – my question to the statistician is how much correlation and experimentation to be found on learning versus test scores? You know, because you can dump a lot of stuff. I mean, you mentioned it 2 weeks later. How did you know? But do you follow up on any of that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I think one of the most interesting things we found was that for any individual student, their scores on the different types of tests were highly correlated. So a good student did well regardless of what type of test they were given. A poor student did poorly regardless of what type of test they were given. And that I think, was a really interesting finding, that in a way, the type of exam really makes very little difference.
But the anxiety level, that makes a difference. Jeff, in your experience, are students get very anxious about the big test?
You've got the same correlation across students that do that. Some of them psych themselves up, some of them psych themselves out. And it doesn't matter what type of test it is. I absolutely agree that the good students tend to do well no matter what. And the bad students have struggled no matter what. And again, it's the psyched up for a test and don't handle stress well versus the ones who don't handle stress well, who always feel the time pressure, like the open book, open time limit, they really appreciate that. And because the time pressure is gone. So a lot of it, I think, is just the time pressure correlation as well.
Interesting. Engineering, I would think journalism, you should have a deadline. That should be appropriate for that exam.
Sure. Engineering, you're going to be given a couple of weeks for a project, not a couple hours.
All right. Thanks very much, Jeff. Good luck.
Thank you.
And let's see if we can get one more caller in. This is Nancy. Nancy on the line with us from Naples in Florida.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying ours is a little different. Our students are not taking our courses for credit. They're learning English as a second language, but a lot of our tests are electronic, and we allow them to take it multiple times, because many of them will take it 2 or 3 or 4 times trying to get all the answers right instead of just aiming right for the grade. And because it's electronic, they can do it and they get the feedback right away with what their score was.
And Bill Phillips, obviously electronic tests or online tests, are, that's another category too.
Yes. In fact, I think it's very promising that our results show that there isn't a huge difference between the three types of exams, because when you give an online exam, that's going to be automatically pretty much an open note, open book situation. And however, our results suggest that, again, it just doesn't mean that it's going to be an automatic A for the student and that the retention is going to be the same as if it's a closed book.
Nancy, thanks.
Thank you.
And here's an email from Mary Beth in San Antonio. Not using texts or notes encourages cheating. My personal testing method is that students often memorize material and promptly forget it. Using testing by application forces them to apply what they've read and learned to differing situations. Is there any way to test about cheating?
That's a good question. I mean, that's a problem that, of course, we come across all the time, and it's going to be increasingly a problem. I don't know that our study can really tell us anything about the likelihood of cheating and which style of test makes it most likely. My guess would be with the open book, open note exam, cheating would be lower because you have all your material with you. There's no need to check your neighbors.
Or scribble something extra on your sleeve.
Exactly.
You got the paper. Anyway, Afshin Gharib and William Phillips, associate professors of psychology at Dominican University in California. They co-authored the study Cheat Sheet or Open Book. They joined us today from member station KQED in San Francisco. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you. We'd also like to thank Noelle Matthew, who was an undergraduate assistant that helped us with this research.
We'll talk to you again on Monday. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.